It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger's here, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn as well. And today, the return of Corey Beck, chief winemaker for Francis Ford Coppola's wine portfolio. Good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me back.
That's a hell of a gig you got there.
That's fun.
I know.
Not too bad.
I'm sure you work your ass off. But
it is fun. Yes, it is.
And again, tell us your story as a guy who got into wine.
Yeah, I grew up in Knights Valley.
And you did?
Yeah, I did. My grandfather, who lived right down the road, he was the vineyard manager for Chateau Montalina, and he sourced the Chardonnay and planted. He actually planted the vineyard for Jim Barrett in 1971. A lot of replanting
that went in 76 to France.
So the one that the 73 that won it, he planted all that Chardonnay and then sourced. You know, the ironic thing about it is that the majority of that wine or those grapes came from Alexander Valley, right?
Was that Bacigalupi?
Bacigalupi. Yeah, exactly right.
So crazy. But it was made by Chateau Montalina.
That's right. So on the label. It was before AVAs, you know, in terms of it had to be on the label. So I have a bottle of it. He gave me one. It says Alexander Valley - Napa.
That's crazy. That's,
kidding.
Alexander Valley's the lead on it. So I always throw a plug out there for Sonoma that it wasn't just the Napa wine.
And Dan, quickly tell everyone who has forgotten or doesn't know about the big wine tasting in France.
That was started by Steven Spurrier, who was running a wine shop in Paris, and he decided that Napa had come of age in spite of the fact that the properties he chose were almost always about 3 years old or 2 years old or sometimes 1 year old. And he and his partner, Patricia, selected some wine that really represented some of the highest quality that was in Napa at the time, including Clos de Val and some Stag's Leap, various properties. And all these wonderful wines that were put into the blind tasting, the French, the majority of the tasters, in fact, all the tasters were French, and it was a blind tasting. They had no idea where the wines were from, and when all the scores were tabulated, the California wine finished first in the Chardonnay, and the California wine finished first in the Cabernet. It was pretty impressive.
Everybody in France, all the wine folks in France, were flipped out of their minds.
And then, interestingly enough, 30 years later, they duplicated the same tasting, and the Californians won again. Different wines, but Californians won again.
That's right.
Wow. Okay, so, Corey, did you go to UC Davis, Fresno?
I did, yeah.
UC Davis,
UC Davis, yeah. It was great. I mean, I grew up, my first job was driving a tractor in the vineyard in 1982 with my grandfather, and I hated every minute of it because it was so bloody hot in Calistoga in the summertime. I vowed that we would go up at 3 o'clock and take a break and go to the cellar, and you would walk in there, and how cool it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I know where I need to be, you know, long term.
Yeah. Not out on the truck.
Yeah, exactly.
In a Calistoga summer. Wow. All right, so... How long have you been with Coppola?
This is my 22nd year.
Holy crap.
Coming up here, yeah. So we started in the late 80s, actually was at Montalena after college, left in 1998 and started with the Coppolas as assistant winemaker.
And that was in Napa,
That was in Napa, yeah.
Because they didn't have a Sonoma County.
That's right. We didn't buy the Coppolas. We bought the Sonoma property, which was Chateau Souverain, in 2006.
Yeah.
And that was fun because... We bought it in 06, and I think it was the 2007 board meeting, and Francis walked in and with a rendition of the swimming pool and everything, like literally on a cocktail napkin, and said, you know, here's what I want to do. And we're like, wow, swimming pool, winery, and it's one of the greatest things that we've done.
Is Francis doing anything in Napa these days? I forget.
The Inglenook, you know, we still have Inglenook property.
That's okay. That's right.
Yeah, that's been... beautiful. He's put that back together.
And of course, the great Rubicon red wine.
That's correct.
Fabulous wine.
Well, there's so much fabulous during the... I mean, if you look at the Coppola family portfolio, talk a bit about that, Corey. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff going on here.
Yeah, I mean, the great news is we work for a creative genius, right? So there's always, you know, the other on Monday night, he was honored at the Lifetime Achievement Award mm-hmm. for the wine enthusiast. And he said a great quote. He said, you know, one of the great joys of my life is that all my family members are now on a wine label. So, you know, it's been great. I mean, we have the Sophia Sparkling line. We have the Eleanor, which is a red blend. We have Archimedes. And then we have a Roman after his son. So there's quite an array of different products. But our drivers are with the Director's Wines and Director's Cut Wines that made in Sonoma County.
Yeah, yeah. Which are so amazing.
Yeah, they're fun.
I have become iconic. Oh, yeah. You must sell a lot of that stuff, Barry.
I do, actually. And we were just setting up the display. We're rolling out of the Harvest Fair wines into the Chronicle winners. And Coppola did quite well this year.
Yeah.
Sophia Rosé was in there. Cabernet, Zinfandel, I think Chardonnay. All got gold or above.
Yeah.
I think one was best of class. So the wines are always solid. No complaints.
Well, we like to say, too, it's that with our growers, that's one of the big things for us is that our growers in Sonoma County and throughout California, it all starts in the vineyard. I mean, you know this, Dan. And so once you establish that, then everything else, it's like with the winemaking team, it's like, okay, just don't screw it up.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, amen. Yeah. Wow. So I didn't realize you'd been that many years with Coppola.
It feels like a few different jobs as well, because we moved out here in 2006 to run the new winery. And then from that, we purchased Geyser Peak Winery and renamed that Virginia Dare in 2014.
Yeah.
And then in 2018, we went up to Oregon and bought another property. So now we've got our toe in the Oregon wine world, which I'll tell you, that having the Santa Rosa Airport and having a direct flight to Portland has opened up that area.
Yeah, probably helped a lot.
Oh, it's incredible.
A lot of people going
we've heard amazing things about Portland, Oregon wines.
Yes, and I joke around. I said we could leave our office and get to our property in Oregon quicker than we can drive to Monterey. Right. I mean, because with traffic and through
I believe
the
area,
oh yeah, no, it's great.
But what people don't tell you is that in spite of Oregon's great success with Pinot Noir, think about all the other things they do. They do great Riesling, great Pinot Gris, and great Pinot Blanc. I mean, you've got three white wines there that nobody looks at, and they're fabulous.
Yeah, great deals too.
Yeah,
it's definitely fast growing categories in the store.
So you got a lot of that at Bottle Barn.
Yeah, we're definitely moving up the Oregon section. Whites and reds, but Pinot's always been strong. But yeah, like Dan said, the other, and there's guys experimenting with Gamay now and Merlot and lots of different things.
Gamay Noir is hot as a pistol up there. You can't, you can't get. Most people who are making it are selling it out so fast they don't want to ship it anywhere else.
Really,
we don't see it in California.
Yeah, it doesn't. I get a few, but yeah, like only the guys that make a decent amount that got in early. The small production guys, it all winds up.
If you taste a cool climate Gamay Noir, you may not go back to Pinot Noir.
Wow.
That's how good the wines are.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of French winemakers up there that know Gamay pretty well, too, now, so they share their knowledge. Yeah.
So, Corey, chief winemaker for Francis Ford Coppola's wine portfolio. That just sounds like such a heavy-duty job, and I'm sure it is. But explain what your job is exactly, what's entailed in it, because you guys got a lot of winemakers.
We do. We have a lot of winemakers, and it's really about keeping with the vision, you know, the vision of what the portfolio is supposed to look like. And, you know, Francis, I love the fact that, you know, when a few years back when the kind of the red blend category was really growing and some of them were turning out a little sweeter and it was, you know, some of those wines were moving and the public is gravitating towards them. Mm. You know, we never changed our philosophy. You know, we didn't chase that. We stuck true to what our wines are supposed to be. And, you know, our wines are to be paired with food as well, right? Food is a major component of what we do. And, you know, we've got Rustic Restaurant, which I adore. Right. Mm. I mean, that's a list of Francis's favorite, you know, dishes throughout his life that he's replicated. And we are, you know, making the wines to be paired with, you know, the pasta or the leg of lamb or whatever that may be. So that's what's fun is to be able to do that.
I was going to have a T-shirt made saying, if Francis likes it, I like it.
That's a great. I like it.
There's very few people I trust in the world of food and wine more than him, man. I mean,
he still spends a fair amount of time in Italy. Puglia, is it that he's from?
Yeah, Bernalda. And so the we have a resort down there.
Oh, right.
And that was, yeah, it's quite the place.
Stays
yeah,
in like touch with the food scene. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
You make a Sagrantino yet?
Not yet. Not yet. We did plant some Negro Amaro on the property.
That'd be fun.
That was, we just planted that about 3 years ago. So, yeah.
Are you guys still doing At the Table Tuesday? Which, and I'm Italian, I should remember the actual.
A tavola.
Thank you.
Yes. Tavola. You got it. Yeah, yeah. Tavola Tuesday nights. We are, that is.
That's my favorite.
It's a great night. We book out. It's an opportunity, too, for our wait staff, you know, and servers and to have fun.
So
they put on skits.
So cool.
And aren't they great? They have a blast doing it.
They're entertaining. The food is amazing. The wine is amazing. It's one of my favorite things to do on a Tuesday night when I can get my sorry ass off the couch.
Yeah. Well, and that's how Francis, you know, when he put that together was what he remembered going to his grandmother's house Sunday dinner.
Right.
And he would show up and it would be, okay, so what's for dinner tonight? And things would just continue to come out of the kitchen.
Same
you know?
With my family, man.
Like, oh, try this and
my
have
grandmother.
This. Yes.
Yeah. We're having this and this, and then 5 hours later, they're the table's cluttered with all this other stuff.
Yeah, it keeps coming. And
it
there
just
was
keeps
always
coming, yeah.
And then the beautiful thing about it, there was always wine on the table. Right? So it was that full circle of what we do. And in a few years back, we were actually able to plant our garden out there. And so majority of the stuff for the summer time when we do have a tavola is all from the garden, right out in front.
Beautiful.
So that's another, it's really nice.
And that's every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, yep.
Starting what time?
You know, 5 o'clock is kind of when
perfect.
People. Yeah. So, but Tuesday nights, and it's a very popular venue. Yes.
You gotta love it. Dan, thoughts on all this Coppola wine and all the years? And
I think it was somewhat of a slow evolution in terms of what these brands were going to be. Francis developed a brand. He wasn't entirely sure what it would be. Then he said, well, maybe this should be a little less money so it's affordable for more people. Then there was another brand that was developed, and, well, this one is really coming from an expensive area, and we can't make it a cheap wine, but slightly more, but better quality and that much more of a value. Before you knew it, these brands started developing right and left. I couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those brands, Corey. This is fabulous.
Yeah, we so when the Coppolas, you know, came into the wine company, which was the early 70s, it was, you know, Inglenook was the buy. Right, and that was a Napa property. And then as time evolved and they were able to get the original chateau back and reunite the property, we were able to then start launching some different brands. And that was the big one was our Diamond Series, and that is our driver, right? And that's from wines throughout California. And then when we bought the property in 06, we didn't have a Sonoma brand. And so it was one of those first times that Francis allowed us to use the film career and the wine career together. There you go. That's right.
I'm sorry, the director's cut. I turned my mic off. Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah, which was brilliant.
That's exactly right. So that was Dan, in terms of us then having a home for our Sonoma wines, the director's cut in our director's portfolio, that's what it was. And that was
turning point.
Yeah, it was great. And we were able to grow our Sonoma County grower base from, you know, zero to over 100 different growers that we work with in Sonoma County.
I think one of the great secrets behind the development of the Diamond Series was the fact that there were a lot of people trying to enter the market in a sort of a consumer-friendly price point at that time. But a lot of those people, I wouldn't name names, of course, but some of them were making the wines a little soft. And Francis is really a legitimate wine lover, and he wanted those wines to be dry. So what set that brand apart from so many of the other sort of, I hate to say, fighting varietal characteristics, was that those wines were dry. And they really showed balance and structure, and a lot of wineries learned from that. They said, well, wait a minute. If they can do it, we can do it too. So the marketplace really became a little more sophisticated because of what Francis did.
That was interesting, too. And so for the wine business now is so different. And so I'll give you a fun stat. Back in the mid-90s, when we launched the majority of our Diamond Series, there were, you know, roughly about 3,000 wholesalers in the U.S. So to get your wines out to New York or very easy. There were only 1,800 wineries in the U.S. at that time. Now, 2018, we have around 600 wholesalers, okay, so with consolidation, and we have 11,000 wineries in the U.S. So it is much more difficult to get your wine through that hourglass now. And back when we were starting, it was, boy, you had all these wholesalers, and it was a
so how
time.
Do you do that now? I mean, is it just because of the name Coppola, do you think, that it's easier for you guys? Or
you know, nothing's easy right now. I'll tell you that. Even if you're the top, right, which is Gallo. And, you know, with consolidation on the wholesale side and also on the winery side, and then you start looking at all these other, you know, I say like to say headwinds, but the hard seltzers of the world, like White Claw, you know, these alternatives, cannabis, of course, in different areas. So, you know, and then the health conscience for people that looking at calories, you know, what that looks like. So wine, you know, again, we continue to go back, you know, food. Food is our biggest alibi right now in terms of what is going to pair well with it. You know,
have a major difference that we saw within the last week. We had the direct-to-consumer conference, and people are now buying. Look, 3 years ago, 10% of the wine sold in the United States sold direct-to-consumer. Today, they're looking at pushing 40% to direct-to-consumer. That's an outrageous change in 3 years.
No kidding. So 3 years.
Yeah, we're seeing ludicrous numbers of direct-to-consumer opportunities. But that doesn't mean to say that you're going to be shut out of the marketplace. What Barry is doing is changing the entire dynamic of retail. This is really where it's happening right here. It's
at Bottle Barn.
Bottle Barn is happening. It's the number one retail concept in the country, in my opinion. There isn't anything quite like it, and nobody can touch that because he invented the wheel. I mean, this guy is really a pioneer in a lot of ways. He's going to get credit years later after he knows he's already done it, but he's not saying it out loud.
Barry, you're so modest.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
Oh, come on. Yeah, squawk about it, dude.
No, it's an exciting business, and we're really supported by the industry. You couldn't have a Bottle Barn, you know, just anywhere. And the only other place we've ever talked about it is Napa, because it's the other place surrounded by people in the industry that really, you know, it's like a laboratory for them to go in, taste their competitors' wines, taste weird wines from Austria, Germany, all over the world, and then, you know, wines from just over the hill. You know, the Sonoma guys want to try the Napa wines.
And the word of mouth that's happening in this county is unbelievable. You know, I write about a wine in our newsletter. Our newsletter doesn't go to an awful lot of people. We just have couple of thousand subscribers. But when we finally get the word out on a particular wine, things go crazy. That one Italian wine you had, that one closed out.
Oh, from your class, yeah.
It went completely out the door in about 4 hours. I mean, it was like ridiculous. But that's what happens. Word of mouth really does carry.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, coming up. There's so much wine on the market now, not just local wineries, but worldwide, that, you know, it's like you said, going through the hourglass, getting out of the market, there's more than what can fit. And so there's going to be deals left and right in all categories, I think, going forward. And just kind of have to sit and wait, and they're going to happen. And it's going to be fun for people to try a lot of different things.
California Wine Country, Dan Berger, today featuring the great Corey Beck, chief winemaker for the Francis Ford Coppola wine portfolio. Barry Herbst is here, and when we get back, I want to talk more about the winery up north off 101, which I've enjoyed so many times, but there's probably still some people, and we're in five counties in the Bay Area, and some you know, would-be tourists who haven't been here lately and have not been to that winery. It's such a trip. California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, and Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is with us. And the return of Corey Beck, chief winemaker for Francis Ford Coppola's wine portfolio. What a gig. Let's talk briefly. I know you got to split and pick up the kids. Kick up the pigs? Either way.
Sometimes I call them that, so it's okay.
The whole thing, for anyone who has never been to the Francis Ford Coppola Winery off 101 north of Santa Rosa, it is so amazing. It's really, it's a Coppola movie museum.
Yeah, it is. I joke around that we have more lifeguards than we do winemakers.
That's so funny.
And we do. And we.
There's the original desk from The Godfather.
That's right. The Tucker car.
The Tucker car.
This is right in the middle. We have a lot of stuff from Apocalypse Now and some of the surfboards, the Dracula. So it is it's a museum, but then and like Francis likes to say, it's a staycation, right? Mm. So when you come there, you are in the middle of wine country. And you can sit by the pool, you can have a glass of wine, and you can also have a pizza delivered to you right there.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like a museum because you're walking around with a glass of great wine. Mm-hmm. And, oh, look, there's the car.
Yeah.
You know, from Tucker. There's the thing, all the stuff from The Godfather and everything else.
Yeah.
It's truly a great experience.
It is. And the pool kind of helps solidify all of that with the restaurant that we have. We have a Parrilla, which is the Argentinian grill that we actually bought from Argentina and brought that in. And
you're so right. It's awesome.
And then we have for the summertime, we put up a teepee, very large teepee, and we stuff it with children's books, and that's the children's library. Right. Yeah.
Man, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's a great setup.
I have not
setup.
Seen that.
Yeah,
yet.
The teepee.
That's brilliant.
Four bocce courts as well with the outdoor cafe,
and of course the beautiful pool and the cabanas. But
yep.
In Italian, it's
the cabine.
Thank you.
The cabine, which is a little changing room with a hot shower.
It's
perfect. And I'll tell you, it worked out really well during when we had the power shut off. For some of our employees, right, in Windsor and what, people came up and they showered in the cabines because we had a generator going. So in their hot water in there, when they didn't have hot water at home, we had all the cabines for our employees. It was fun.
Beautiful thing. Now, speaking of the Oscars and films and such, explain this. This bottle is gold like the Oscar.
It is. So it's
and it's going to the Oscars.
Yeah, so a few years back, we did a commitment with the Oscars, and we produce a wine for them every year that is completely different. And it's only for them, and we can sell a little bit out of our tasting room.
Wow.
So for the last 3 years, we've had to continue to raise the bar. And I will say, this is the one here that has – this is going to be a tough one to beat.
That's so as big as the bar gets, dude.
It's a gold bottle that has – in this particular case, it's our Russian River Pinot Noir from the Dutton family, the King Vineyard. And we actually went to a nail polish company, and they hand-painted every single bottle for us. This gold, and it also has the little emblem on there, the Francis Coppola, and it says the 92nd Awards, which is the 92nd Academy Awards. So, for those of you at home, when you're watching it, you're going to see this gold bottle on every table, and that's our Pinot Noir, and you can buy it at the tasting room as well. We've got
really,
yeah.
You can,
yep,
nowhere else, though.
Nowhere else, tasting room, and then of course we have it with the Oscars.
No, people don't grab the bottle and leave their Oscar on the table. You know,
that's right. They're
pretty similar. The color match is pretty astounding.
It is. Mike got a great photo. He's putting it up on all our pages.
Oh, good. Thanks, Mike.
That is so cool. Now, you said something about you'll see at the tables. They don't have tables at the Oscars. Not during
the governor's ball. We had it in the after. After ones. That is correct.
A boatload of after parties.
That's right.
Okay.
So for the staying up late and watching some of that stuff.
I watch it all the next day.
Around.
Yeah. I sit on my phone going, "Show me all the photos from the parties."
That's right.
Afterwards,
and you'll have all those ingenue actors who are under 21, longingly not being able to drink.
Oh, believe me, they'll drink.
Find a way.
They'll find a way.
Yeah,
they'll find a way.
So, Corey, give us thoughts about the future of Francis Ford Coppola's wine portfolio and what else is going on.
Yeah, great question. So last year we launched our spirits. We have a spirits program called Great Women Spirits, named after different women throughout history that might be not as known. Like we have our gin, for example, is called Ada Lovelace.
And let me just interrupt by saying that I was involved in a double-blind tasting of gins at a wine competition not too long ago. And that was by far the best gin I have ever tasted. Ever.
Wow. What's her name?
How about that? Ada Lovelace.
And
Ada Lovelace in the
gin.
Late 1800s. She actually was the first person accredited to writing the first computer program, like like she wrote the computer program. There's actually an Ada Lovelace Day, which I believe is in April, that they have dedicated to her. And so that's what
wow.
I mean. So your face says it all.
Yeah.
Like some of these people, in this case, Ada Lovelace, you know, not maybe getting the credit that they deserve. And so Francis, you know, God bless him. I mean, he came up with the great women's spirits, and each of the spirits is named after a different, you know, female.
And just a side note from the former tech writer, ADA was the actual first name of the very first operating system for computers.
There you go.
Wow.
In her honor.
Yeah.
In her honor.
Can she fix my CNN app? I'm having problems. Give her a call, will you?
Yeah. Well, Dan, I'm glad you had an opportunity to taste it, especially
that
blind.
That's incredible.
No,
yeah.
That's good.
Double
Thank
blind.
You.
I couldn't believe it.
All right, now.
It's spectacular.
What are we talking about here?
Now we
gin?
Have the Cabernet.
Oh, we don't have the gin with us. I'm sorry.
No, but the
this was the Pinot that you had.
Yeah.
The
so
Pinot
that was Russian.
Oh, okay.
That was what vintage is it?
Here, give me just a taste more because.
You got onto the cabin. Forgot.
I want to talk about it. Yeah.
True.
That's a beautiful
river.
This is the one that's going to the Oscars.
Yeah. What vintage is that?
2017. Yeah, it's going to be nice because
Pinot.
You know, well, I love the fact that we get to showcase Sonoma County, you know, at the Oscars, and
cool.
have that be part of not only Francis Coppola, but again the county, and that we can talk
Hell
about
yeah.
people like the Duttons and some of the growers, and it's.
And
you know,
we're
that's
open,
what
people.
Like
forget
see.
About the fires at this point.
That's
we're
right.
open and working.
This is,
and
you said, limited time. It'll be at the winery, too, right?
It will be. It's
yeah,
at the winery
so
for a short
That's worth
a
trip
time,
alone.
But Barry's yeah. never going to get it.
I could.
You
know,
could,
I
might, could arm wrestle
might
for a
do
few
some
cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know Barry, how we work. You know,
exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the cab is beautiful.
At least it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that fun? It's good.
That is really
yeah, so
slick.
We selected, you know, the number of barrels, 10 barrels or so, out of this lot, and that was what we bottled for them. So it's good. They have a whole committee that helps select the wine, and they've got – their palates are really good. So they're part of the process. And, you know, again, they want to continue every year to raise the bar, and which is, you know, rightfully so.
Yeah. That would drive me crazy trying to – with you have about 50 lots in front of you and trying to narrow down the blend – and just the different permutations involved. That's a real talent, I think, to be able to.
Especially when you're serving to a bunch of actors.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. Okay, so, Corey, is Francis thinking about making any other purchases or expanding anything?
Yeah,
or?
You know, not as of right now. I mean, we took on last year the Oregon property.
Right.
And that's been, you know, we're now developing that brand. And, you know, I think for us it's about, you know, you buy something and you acquire it and create something. And now let's give it a chance to have a little bit of a runway and build off of that. So that's what we're doing.
There's a tasting room affiliated too?
There is. Yeah. Yep. There's a tasting room. It's it's called, the winery's called Domaine de Broglie, named
oh, right.
after Louis de Broglie, the French physicist. And
where's that?
That's the one in Oregon.
Gotcha.
That's the one in Oregon,
okay,
and
right.
which is in right in the Dundee Appalachian and the Willamette Valley. It's kind of like you look at Sonoma County and say, okay, where's the best place to grow Pinot? One of them,
right.
Russian River. And this is looking at Oregon. What's one of the best regions in Oregon to grow Pinot in this area?
That's it.
Where Dundee all the big names of Oregon are.
Dundee Hills.
Fabulous.
Everybody knows it up there.
It's good. Yeah, it's a great, great area.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, Dan Berger, and, of course, Corey Beck, chief winemaker for Francis Ford Coppola's wine portfolio. Great to see you again, man.
Always wonderful being here. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you coming in and bringing all this great stuff.